Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob and you're at the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Occasionally, friends of this program, friends of Denver Bible Church and of Bob and Yurt Live, do something that is absolutely extraordinary and heroic. And that is happening right now, this very day. And I want to get to that in just a moment. But first, to our friends in Hawaii. We have many people in Hawaii who listen to Bob and Yurt Live every day over the internet at our website, kgov.com. And I want you to know we're praying for you and hoping that you do well with the series of earthquakes that hit and that your lives could be returned to normal. And we look at this event and the tsunami that hit the Indian Ocean almost 2 years ago now, Christmas Day, and then the earthquake in Pakistan and Louisiana sinking into the Gulf Coast at a rate much quicker than our government previously thought. And we look at all this, and it reminds me of the debate we had on the age of the earth, debate we had with scientists who believe that the earth is billions of years old. And I'm the pastor of a Bible church. What would I know? But we had a really neat debate downtown Denver. It was with the Denver chapter of Reasons to Believe. And it was me and a Christian science teacher, Don Daly, from Maranatha Christian Center, against a couple scientists. The one was Dr. John Nickel, who's a geophysicist, and he's well known all over the country. In fact, he's a past president of the Environmental and Engineering Geophysical Society. So he's a pretty sharp guy. And after the debate, we talked, and we had another meeting, actually, and that went well. And I presented again my arguments and evidence and asked them to respond. And John Nickel had said, you know, Bob, if what you're saying is right, then we geologists, we're not doing a good job of warning governments. We should be warning governments that the crust of the earth is not as stable as we're assuming. We're assuming it's stable after billions of years of settling. If you're right, we should give governments a higher grade warning of potential tsunamis, earthquakes, and so on. Volcanoes erupting. And I said, John, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And just shortly after that was the tsunami. And then the earthquakes in Pakistan, and now this, and the reports by our government that Louisiana is sinking into the Gulf at a much faster rate than they had previously believed. And this earthquake in Hawaii reminds me of all this. And so what I think I'll do is take our recording of that debate, we have it on a CD, and I think I'll mail another copy to John Nickel. And with a little note saying, John, remember what you said? If the young earth guys were right, then we should be giving higher grade warnings to the governments. Yeah, John, the young earth guys are right, and you should be. You should be. So to our friends in Hawaii, we love you guys and hope all is well with you. Please let us know. Call in sometime or send us an email and check in and let us know you're okay. All right. Now, meanwhile, the battle over life and death is continuing in America. And we have reported about Plan B and the morning after pill and how that is becoming so common. Even pro-lifers are beginning to defend the morning after pill. And the reason they would do that, even though the website of the manufacturer of Plan B, and we link to this from our website at kgov.com. Just go to our website and then search for Plan B, and then click on the link, you'll go to the manufacturer's website, and it says that one of the ways the pill can work is once an egg is fertilized, when an ovum is fertilized, then the plan B will kill that fertilized egg. It will not allow it to implant, and so there will be an abortion. So it's startling, it's tragic that some pro-life leaders and organizations are acting as though Plan B were just a contraceptive, but it's an abortifacient. So now we are going to go to the phones and talk to a gal who, her husband is a hero. Her name is Jill. Her name is Jill, and we're going to talk about her husband and what he is doing at his work, but I'm going to bring Jill on the line right now. Jill, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate you letting me talk to your listeners and to you.
Sure thing. And because of the security of your family, I'd rather we not use the name of your husband's business. I'd rather we not tell people where he works.
Okay.
But let's say this. Pharmaceutical chain after chain after chain, the national chains in America are selling Plan B, the morning after pill, which is an abortifacient.
Yeah.
It's a way to kill the baby once, if you have a fertilized baby on its way to your womb down the fallopian tube, Plan B will kill that baby, that little boy or little girl.
Yes, absolutely.
And so your husband works for one of these pharmaceutical chains, and could you tell us what it is he does for the chain and what's happening with him and his job?
Well, he was approached by his boss to work on a project that directly facilitated the sale of these drugs in the stores, and basically went to his employer and told him that he was not going to do it for moral reasons and just the fact that the company is selling these drugs. He is refusing to work on it.
So they've asked him, in his normal capacity, he helps them to sell their product.
Correct.
And they asked him, okay, now here's this new product, Plan B, the morning after pill. We would like you to help us sell this.
Right, exactly.
And
he's been really torn up since the company's decided to start selling it because mm-hmm. of just the fact that it's killing babies and that he works for this company mm-hmm. that is facilitating it now.
Right.
It's been very, very difficult for him.
Right. You know, we live in a culture where so many of our major corporations, they support abortion, Planned Parenthood, euthanasia, assisted suicide, homosexuality,
yeah.
our godless education system. And the Apostle Paul dealt with this when he was operating under the Roman Empire, basically, under their authority. And he said, look, we're in the world, but we should not be of the world. And if there are Christians who are, let's give an example, living a sexually immoral life, we should disfellowship them. But Paul said, but I'm not speaking about unbelievers because we expect that unbelievers will live that way, tragically. So we're in the world, but not of the world. So we operate and we function with governments and businesses that are evil.
Yes, and businesses today, it seems, are being very, blackmailed or manipulated into conforming to society's wants and desires, regardless of the immoral way it is.
Right. Now, Jesus and Paul both indicated you obey the government, which at the time was the Roman Empire. You obey Caesar, you pay taxes to Caesar, even though Caesar was a murderer. You know, and he would use some of your tax dollars to kill innocent people. So you don't support the wicked things the government does, and you don't do them yourselves, but we are living in the world.
Right.
And so if you can, let's say boycotting a company that's decided to start selling plan B. If you can do that, that's a great thing to do. The problem is you could end up in a situation where you're boycotting everyone.
Yeah.
Because all major corporations, not all, but so many, will donate to Planned Parenthood or donate to, you know, put it, fill in the blank. The United Way, which donates to Planned Parenthood and to homosexual organizations and so on. And so it's not like a boycott is a moral absolute that you have to boycott. But if you could, great. But at any rate, your husband is really putting his career on the line by telling his employer, I will not do this. You've asked me to do this as part of my job. I will not do that.
Yes, and my husband is an exceptional employee. In fact, he's received awards for his work and the things that he's done for the company. And I'm very proud of him for the stand that he's making. And yes, he has put his job on the line for this decision that he's made. I think it's the right one.
Well, Jill, let me ask you this. What if, now we know you guys, you're not just calling in out of the blue.
Right.
We have met you, your husband, your family twice in the last couple years.
Yes.
We've gotten together for different projects, and we really love you guys.
Well, thank you. We love you guys, too. We really appreciate your program.
Oh, praise the Lord. Well, Jill, what if your husband was fired for his refusal to support Plan B? Would that be no big deal for you guys? A big deal? What?
It would be a big deal, obviously. We're a one-income family. My husband works and provides for us, and I stay home, and we homeschool our children. We have four children, and our biggest challenge right now is one of our youngest was born with a severe heart defect, and we would lose our medical benefits if he were fired. And the medical benefits are exceptional. In fact, the company has been very supportive financially for us. His coworkers have been very caring and helpful in any way they can be for us during this very difficult time. So, yes, it would be very difficult if he did lose his job.
So your little one has serious medical needs.
Yes.
And it's somewhat difficult to get to start up a new health insurance program when you have serious existing medical needs.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that makes it difficult. And so this job is more than just the paycheck. It's also the welfare of your littlest child.
Yes, it is.
Wow.
He's such a blessing. We found out about his heart defect when I was pregnant with him earlier this year. And basically, my doctor, we went in for the normal ultrasound, and the doctor informed us that he had one of the rarest and the worst heart defects. Hmm. And she just blanketly said that, you know, we should just let him die. Hmm. And that was just horrible.
Of course, devastating.
It was very devastating, not only to find out that he had this defect, but for the doctor to say to let him die. And that's what most people would do.
What did he mean by that? What would if he had another mom there and dad who agreed with him, then what would they have done to let him die?
Had an abortion. They would have killed the baby before the baby was born.
Mm.
In fact, afterwards, we were disillusioned in believing that there wasn't anything that could be done because of this doctor's attitude. And obviously, that was not an option. Abortion was not an option. We were going to do everything we could to help our child.
Sure.
And thankfully, we were directed to some amazing doctors that said, yes, there's an option, and he's alive, and he's doing very well considering his heart defect. He's got a long road ahead, more surgeries and recoveries and therapy. But
is he, not that this really matters, but is he cute?
Oh, he's adorable.
He's adorable.
He is happy. He smiles.
Uh-huh.
He knows his brothers and his sister.
So he's a blessing to you guys.
Yes.
And you guys are a blessing to him.
Yes. He has been a blessing to so many people in our community, in our church, and we have been supported financially by friends and neighbors and just so many people. We're so thankful. And God has provided the financial means for us to care for him and give him what he needs.
You could judge a culture by the way it treats the most vulnerable. in society. And you could also judge an individual by their attitude toward the most vulnerable. So that doctor who said, well, he's going to be handicapped, you're better off killing him. We know a lot about that doctor. And sadly, that tells us a lot about people, even in the audience right now, who would see a handicapped four-year-old boy like Dylan Walborn at Children's Hospital in Denver said to the parents, well, you could starve Dylan to death. That would really be a good thing to do. And they did it. And the Denver Post documented it. It took 24 days to kill little Dylan. But that tells you a lot about a culture on how they treat their most vulnerable. And, hey, evolution is survival of the fittest. And so the strong could kill the weak. And then it's less effort on the part of the strong.
You know, they have so many medical ways to help children with needs. Now, our son has a feeding tube in his stomach because when he had his surgeries, he had a paralyzed vocal cords, which meant he couldn't swallow without aspirating, breathing in his food.
Right.
So he gets fed through his button. They call it a button that's directly into his stomach.
Yeah.
You know, and there are so many ways that doctors can help children that have needs. And
that's basically, you know, people will think a feeding tube, oh, that's sophisticated technology. It's basically a straw.
Yeah.
It's a straw that they just put. It's a permanent straw, a little port. And then you feed the child, the baby, the adult, whoever. Now, are you able to give him even the littlest bit of solid food in his mouth so he could taste it?
Well, yes, his vocal cord is healed since his surgery. However, he still aspirated, and due to some complications with just his surgery and his development, he just doesn't want to eat right now, but we do introduce some tastes to him. We're not, because he has another surgery coming up soon, we're not pushing the foods or other too many things right now.
Right, okay. So, Jill, your husband, who is a friend, you guys are friends of Bob and Yurt Live and of Cheryl and I. He's come up a huge notch in my book. He is now certifiable as one of my heroes.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
And not only is he saying, I will not help to market this to kill other children, but, you know, he has a wife who knows right from wrong and loves God, and he is now an example to all your kids and to everyone in my audience.
Well, I appreciate that. We're hoping that through the network of friends and Christians that we know in our church and other Christians that he works with in the company will see the wrong behavior that the company is doing as far as selling these drugs and follow him in this. I don't know that very many people have done anything as this drastic as saying, no, I'm not going to do this. But I know letters have been written, and I know people have been talking to the upper management and trying to get this changed.
So we have Christians who are fighting like this and heroes out there risking even their livelihood. And then we have pro-lifers and pro-life organizations who have compromised so often on Do Not Murder that they actually support Plan B.
Yeah.
The morning after pill. And they say it's okay, it's not a big deal, or it's a good form of health care for women. So that shows the difference where the pro-life community has compromised so often that many of our leaders no longer know right from wrong. But you guys are an example to us. Jill, tell your husband how much we said thank you, and we love you guys.
I will. We love you guys, too. Thank you so much, Bob.
God bless you. So the earthquake in Hawaii gives us, the series of earthquakes, gives us a reminder that the crust of the earth is not stable like it would be after billions of years, but we still have the consequences of the flood that was the most significant geological event in the history of the earth. Once the earth was created, a global flood carved up the surface features of the earth and it formed the mountain ranges, most of which run north and south. And as those mountain ranges began to settle in to the crust, then plateaus were lifted up, like the Tibetan Plateau and the Colorado Plateau. Was that 130,000 square miles? The Colorado Plateau, the size of Germany? And when you look at the Earth from a Christian, young Earth creationist perspective, you could understand the Earth. You could understand the features, the trenches in the Pacific, the difference between the Atlantic and the Pacific Ocean, the Mid-Atlantic Ridge that's like a break in the crust of the Earth that goes all the way around the Earth. You can look at the Earth and you understand it. And understanding is pretty neat. That's pretty neat. And we sell two things in this regard. One is a book by my absolute favorite all-time scientist, Dr. Walt Brown. He wrote a book called In the Beginning, and what a great book it is. We've been selling it for years now. And in fact, my family visited him at his home in Phoenix a couple years ago. And we carry on a dialogue, and we ask him science questions. He got his degree at MIT. He taught for years at the Air Force Academy. Just a brilliant scientist, Dr. Walt Brown. And we sell his book, In the Beginning. You could get it from our website at KGOV. That's KGOV.com. Or you could call us up. By the way, for people listening on the radio, you hear me say Bob Enyart Live, you might not be able to know, what is that last name? What is that? Sometimes I can't even say it. It's like Bob, what is my name anyway? It's Enyart, E-N-Y-A-R-T, E-N-Y-A-R-T. So when you spell that out, 1-800-8-ENYART on your phone keypad, it's 800-836-9278. And we could ship this book to you right away. We've got them in stock, In the Beginning, by Dr. Walt Brown. And then there is our debate, the Age of the Earth debate. What a fun debate. And you get, 2 hours of moderated debate. And that was a blast. One of the most enjoyable things of my life, doing that debate. It was really fun. Because it's two young Earth creationists against two scientists. John Nicol, like I just told you, who is known around the country, a geophysicist. And the other old earther was a mathematician who's taught up at CU in Boulder, University of Colorado, for many, many years. So you got a mathematician and a geophysicist against a Christian high school science teacher and the pastor of a Bible church. Now, who should get whomped in that debate? We should have been wiped out. I mean, we should have been wiped out. But there was an acquaintance of mine through TOL, you know, theologyonline.com, and his username at TOL is the Phi, like the physicist, P-H-Y. And he flew in from Seattle to watch the debate. There were about 100 people there in the audience. And after the debate, I tell you, all the old earthers, all the people there to support the old earth side, they were like comatose. They were in extreme depression. And the Phi, who believes the earth is billions of years old, he has said, and he has reaffirmed since, that he said that even though he disagrees with us, the young earth side won the debate. And we did. We won the debate because we provided the evidence. We responded to their arguments. We provided the scientific evidence that tears to shreds the Big Bang theory, which they rely upon. And then the geophysicist, John Nicol, he committed the sin. It's not really a sin, but that I have pointed out on this show for probably 15 years now and then. When you ask a scientist, an evolutionary scientist, when you ask them what is their best evidence for, and whatever it is you're debating, evolution or for an old earth, when you ask them what is the best evidence for an old earth, if they're a scientist, they will give you an answer that is in someone else's field, not their own. And that's what John Nicol did in the debate. And it was almost like there was a gasp or a chuckle in the audience, because our audience from Bob and Yurt Live, the people who were there, they were just waiting. They were on the edge of their seat to see what answer he would give. So the question was, John Nichol, what is your best evidence that the Earth is billions of years old? And he said, astronomy. Now, he's a geophysicist. Physicist, you study the laws of physics, and geo is Greek root for the Earth. For the Earth, geography, geophysicist. So he should be able to show from evidence on the Earth that the Earth is billions of years old. That should be his best evidence. But he pointed to another field, some other field. My best evidence is somewhere else, and I'm not an astronomer, so don't expect me to understand the Big Bang. It's just I know that that must be the best evidence. And the same thing happens with evolutionists. You ask a microbiologist what is the best evidence for evolution, and he'll tell you the fossil record. He doesn't know about the fossil record. And you ask a paleontologist what is the best evidence for evolution, and he'll tell you microbiology. The microbiology textbooks, almost uniformly, they omit reference to evolution because the living cell is so wildly complicated. And the more they learn, it is wildly, wildly, wildly complicated. And to continue to maintain with a straight face that our DNA structure could evolve by the laws of physics and then by random chance, that is inane. It's simply inane. And you can't have natural selection help you with evolution until you have a reproducing living organism. So natural selection, for all the godlike attributes atheists attribute to it, you have no natural selection until you have a reproducing organism. And how do you get a reproducing organism? How does it develop its DNA? And DNA is so wildly complicated. Wildly, wildly, wildly complicated, so that it can't happen by chance. It can't. It can't. And if you think it could, I challenge you sometime. We don't have time now. But call into Bob and Yurt Live, and I'll ask you a few basic questions about how that could possibly happen by chance. In fact, God created us in his image and his likeness. And that's why we know right from wrong, because we have a creator who is a righteous God. And we will meet him on Judgment Day. So before then, we better have our sins dealt with. And through trusting Christ, that's how you deal with your sin. Hey, Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. What a great school. Maranatha.